Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Exploring the Bible. My name is Tom Moore and I'm the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and I'm delighted to be with you tonight. And I have with me tonight Tim Ayers, who is the preacher in Hyco. And Tim and I, we go way back. He and I grew up together in the big town of Dripping Springs, Texas. And so we've always enjoyed one another, and I consider him a good friend. And he's filling in for David Harris tonight, who is off at a gospel meeting, and we wish him the best. And if you're listening tonight, remember that this is a live call-in show, and we want you to call in if you have any questions or comments. Call at 254-445-2473, or if you prefer, you can email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we have over the last several weeks been discussing the Christian graces, and we have discussed faith. We've discussed virtue and knowledge, and last Monday we talked about temperance. Now, in regard to these things, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. And I'm going to ask Tim if he'll read that passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and pick up our thoughts from there, Tim.
Thank you, Tommy. To just give you a little bit of an intro, too, I'm very happy to be here also with Brother Tom. And as he said, we do go way back. We've known each other for more years than we want to remember. But it's great to be so close in area now with him. He's in Hamilton. I'm in Hyco. We're about 20 miles apart there, and working with the Churches of Christ in the area, and we're just happy to be able to be here and do the work of the Lord wherever we can. And I want to invite everyone in the Hyco area to be sure and come by the Hyco Church of Christ. We have our Bible classes at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. Our morning worship is at 10:50. Our evening worship at 6 p.m., and then on Wednesday evening, we have Bible classes for all ages at 7 p.m., and I've said this before, but I can guarantee you that if you come to the Hyco Church of Christ, you will not be able to get out of our building without at least a dozen people welcoming you, shaking your hand, and asking you where you're from, and finding out all about you. So come over and visit with us, and you will enjoy the time studying the Word of God. Let's read now from 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 5. So get out your Bibles, open up, and let's read together. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and I'm reading from the New King James Version tonight. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Tom mentioned a moment ago, we've already studied on this program, faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance or self-control. And then the next quality that Peter mentions here is patience, or as it says in the New King James Version, perseverance, which is just another way of translating the word there in the original text. Patience, perseverance, of course, mean pretty much the same thing. And this is the quality that we want to look at tonight.
You know, and long ago, Solomon said that The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Ecclesiastes at chapter 7 and verse 8. And there's an old Dutch proverb that says, a handful of patience is worth more than a bushel of brains. Shakespeare observed, how poor are they who have not patience? What wound did ever heal by degrees? Another man by the name of Von Monroe said, this would be a fine world if men showed as much patience all the time as they do while they're waiting for the fish to bite.
That's true.
Tim, there's a lot of difficulty in our world today with people who really do not lack patience. We just live in a very impatient society. And, you know, patience is something that every Christian needs, don't they?
That's true. You know, I think it's a good thing for us to probably define what we're talking about when we talk about patience. Patience has been called the queen of virtues. It is a quality that is mentioned a number of times in the New Testament, over 30 different times mentioned in the New Testament. Patience, perseverance. And if we look it up in Webster's dictionary, which is not always the best place to look when you're talking about a Bible term, because sometimes the term in the original Greek text of the New Testament might be slightly different from how it would be defined in the English dictionary. But it's still good for us to look it up in Webster's dictionary. And he defines patience as bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity, able or willing to bear. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek word there that is usually translated with patience or perseverance means it's the characteristic of a man who is unswerving from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. We're talking about the staying power of a Christian. We're talking about that ability to keep on keeping on, as we say sometimes. You know, Tom, just to keep on no matter what comes in our lives, no matter what we have to face, no matter what we have to endure, we just keep on being faithful. We keep on being faithful no matter what circumstance we might face. We keep on being faithful no matter what sort of people we may have to put up with. Whether in the church or out of the church, doesn't matter. We keep on. We don't ever quit.
That's right. And some people have said that patience is a double-sided word. It really has to do with our attitude toward others, our long-suffering. But also, patience also has to do with ourselves being to persevere with the difficulties. And so we're dealing with having patience with other people. But at the same time, we need to have patience with ourselves. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. And so patience is something that's, well, it's just vital for us. And remember that, and when we're looking at these Christian graces, that Peter says we are to give all diligence. In other words, we can't just sit back and think these things are going to come to us and not do it half-heartedly, but we're going to have to give great diligence to possess these qualities, and patience is a very important quality of a Christian. And remember that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he talks about how that if these things are in us and abound, and so we need to be abounding in patience. You know, sometimes we really lack patience, don't we, Tim?
It's true. You know, it seems like sometimes I don't know, in my own life at least, I have found that sometimes what we might say the big things in life, I seem to have more patience and more long-suffering and more perseverance. And then some little thing will happen, and I'll just lose my temper, and then I have to go back and apologize, you know, maybe to my kids or to my wife or something like that, because I lost my temper over some little petty thing. And we really need to learn to have patience in all of those situations, no matter what happens.
You know, not only does the Christian graces tell us that we need to have patience as a good Christian quality, but there are other passages also that talk about us having the requirement or needing to have patience in our life. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, there Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." And then notice what he says, "Follow after or pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love," and here's our word, "patience, meekness." And so this is something, patience is something that we really have to strive for, follow after, and also pursue. And in Titus chapter 2, in verse 2, Paul says there, or Titus, or Paul talking to Titus says, we need to be sound in patience. You know, some people are sound, but they're sound asleep, aren't they, Tim?
That's true.
But we need to be sound in patience. And notice also, in regard to how the Bible's requiring us to be patient people, it's not a take-it-or-leave-it proposition, but we are required to be patient. In Hebrews at chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How? Well, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Tim, one of the things that we see here with regard to patience is not just sitting back and allowing everything to come into you and not have anything on your part to do, is it? Patience is something we have to be involved in actively.
That's true. You know, I think that Paul brings that out over in Romans chapter 2. And I really like this passage in Romans 2 where Paul is talking about God's judgment on those who are involved in their lives and doing various things in their lives. And he basically talks about two different ways of living our lives. He talks about those who, in verse 5, he talks about those who have the hardness and impenitent heart, and they're treasuring up for themselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And then Paul says, now, here are the two different sides of this. In verse 7, there's eternal life. That's what God will render. That's his judgment. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So there Paul says, it's patient continuance in doing good, in well-doing.
That's right.
That's what brings us that eternal life and those spiritual blessings that we hope for as Christians. He says, but, and there's the contrast, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, is it important for us to obey the truth? Some people say, no, we don't have to obey. We just have to have faith, just accept certain things as fact. And but there's no obedience required. That's not what Paul believed. He said those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what's coming to them, Paul? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there's no partiality with God. There's no respect of persons with God. And so Paul lets us know there very clearly in verse 7 that it is by patient continuance in doing good. And that's not just doing good as we might define it, but that's doing good as God defines it in his word.
That's right.
Obedience to his word. As Paul said down there, if you don't obey the truth, and the truth, of course, is the word of God. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17:17, your word is truth. And so obeying the truth, patient continuance in doing good, this is what will bring about eternal life for us and all of those great blessings that are promised to us by the New Testament.
Now, you good listeners out there, remember that this is a call-in radio program, and we would love to have your questions or comments, and you can contact us by calling area code 254-445-2473. Or, if you prefer, you can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And we'd love to have you to call in, ask a question, or give us a comment, because I think that's what makes this radio program wonderful for your comments. Now, when we think about patience, and the Bible's already told us how important that patience is, we need to realize that patience is also something that is what God possesses. You'll notice in, for example, in Romans chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ." And so God is patient, and because we are to be like God, we are to be use him as our example, we also need to be required of patience. Now, do we have a call come in? All right. Who do we have with us tonight?
It is Neil.
Neil?
Yes.
What's on your mind, Neil?
Well, I'm listening to the radio, and I'm going to agree that patience is a Christian virtue.
Yes.
But we need to face the greater facts, see the bigger picture.
What is
Jesus
that?
Jesus said that there's only going to be few that find it. The vast majority of the people that are listening are lost, and we need to hear how a person is going to become a Christian and how they're going to sacrifice their lives for God, rather than finding one small point that would be good for a mature Christian to hear about. This is a fine lesson for people who have been Christians for a long period of time, but why don't you tell people how to become Christians? Why don't you tell people the need to totally sacrifice their lives to Christ? This is preaching to the choir, and the choir ain't listening.
Well,
we need a different lesson.
That's a good comment, but there are people who aren't going to become Christians because they lack this quality of patience. You know, if we're not patient, if we're not long-suffering, then we're not going to be able and willing to be patient enough to even listen to what God has to say. Now, we realize that we need to become Christians and we need to believe on him and repent of our sins and confess his name, be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. But there's also other things in God's Word that also need to be taught, and these Christian graces are very vital to us in being the kind of people that God would want us to be.
That's true, Tommy. You know, we do appreciate the call, Neil, and we appreciate the fact that you're listening. But it is a fact that we can't teach everything that's taught in the Bible in every program. And we have, you know, the study that we've been doing on these Christian graces here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's our that's what we've been studying here for the last several weeks. And so we do appreciate your statement and your comment, and it is good that we go back from time to time and remind everyone what the New Testament does tell us to do in order to become a Christian. So we do appreciate that that comment from you.
Well, let's get back to a little bit about the... Oh, go ahead, Neil. You have something else you want to say?
Nope.
No? Okay. Well, we appreciate that call, but we want to continue to talk about patience because it is a quality. And remember that Jesus said, "In your patience possess ye your souls." And so what does that mean, Tim?
Well, he's saying that it is in our patience... In continuing to do good, keeping on in following God's will, that one day we will be in heaven forever with the Lord.
And so patience is really a part of our salvation, isn't it? If we lack this quality, then we can't possess our soul, and then we're going to be lacking. And so, you know, God doesn't put things in the Bible just randomly. They have an importance, and patience mm-hmm. is very much important for us to have as a quality of a Christian.
You know, just as in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that you were reading a moment ago about following, running that race, as the writer there says, running the race with patience. You think about a runner who's running a race. Let's say he's running a race that's going to go around the track for four times. And so he goes around that track once, he goes around twice, he goes around three times. He's going around that fourth time. And all of a sudden, he gets tired, and he just wants to quit, and so he just stops.
Mm-hmm.
He never finishes the race. And this is what happens sometimes with Christians, folks who are children of God, and they just get tired of fighting the battles, and they get tired of trying to live the Christian life. You know, I have said often over the years, it's not easy being a faithful Christian.
No, it's not.
If it were, everybody would be one.
And that's why patience is so important for us to have. Now, we're up against the break now. We're going to take a break in just a moment. But when we come back, we're going to be talking more about patience, and perhaps we'll be talking about some areas where we need to implement patience in our lives to help us be better family members, to help us to be better Christians, and to just encourage us in the Christian walk. And so we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Parkheights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightsco.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines day. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition, Exploring the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton. And I have with me tonight Tim Ayers, a preacher in Hyco, and we're just happy to be with you tonight. And we've been talking tonight about patience and how that patience is something that's very important to us, very important to the Christian lives. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "In your patience possess ye your souls." And so it's something the Bible also tells us that we need to pursue after, something that needs to be a part of our life, because if we lack this quality, we're going to be lacking in so many other areas in our life. We concluded a while ago about talking about patience and some examples of patience, and we talked about how that God is a God of patience. And when you think about the children of Israel and all the things that they were involved in and the evils, and We just remember all the great patience that God had with Israel. And I don't know about you, Tim, but if I was God back in those days, I'd probably have struck every one of them down a long time ago. But I'm thankful, and I'm sure they were thankful, that God was indeed a very patient God, because I know that I don't always do things right, and I need patience from God. How about you, Tim?
It's true. You know, Paul made the statement in Romans 10 and verse 21. He was, as he was quoting from the Old Testament, he said, speaking of God, "All day long I've held out my hands to a wicked and gainsaying people, a people who were speaking against God," what gainsaying means, speaking against.
Mm-hmm.
"And here were these wicked and gainsaying people, and God says, all day long, I'm holding out my hands to them." He wanted them to come. He wanted them to turn to him and be faithful. The patience of God, the long-suffering of God, of course, is one of the great characteristics that we need to try to emulate.
I believe, Tim, we have another caller with us. Tim, give our caller, give us your name, and what's your question or comment?
This is Marcia.
Marcia?
Okay, yeah, I was wondering how you reconcile the patience of Jesus with his cleansing of the temple not once, but twice.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, even with God our patience comes to an end at some point. God is a God of goodness and God of severity. And with regard to God, you know, God at some times is going to be fed up and giving us all the length of rope that we can. You know, that's why he's patient. Go ahead.
Exactly. Where does patience end?
Where does patience end and what else picks up? Like with regard to God or ourselves?
With regard to our fellow man, with regard to false teachers, with regard to fallen away Christians.
Well, I believe what you notice in the New Testament with Jesus, this when he was being attacked personally, he did not seek retaliation. He did not fight back. You know, he was the lamb led to the slaughter and the sheep before shears is dumb, from Isaiah 53. But when he saw there in the temple, as you mentioned specifically that example, when he saw there in the temple and he saw God's things being blasphemed and being treated improperly, then that's when he stepped in, and he had to do something about it.
Do we not see false teachers every week proclaiming blasphemies against God and against his word?
Absolutely. And
isn't that a very prominent issue today?
Yes, it is, absolutely. And we're trying to overcome that on this program by teaching the New Testament. We try to bring out what God's Word has to say, as opposed to what men would say in, as you said, in those false teachings, in false religions. We're trying to show, here's what God's Word teaches about these important matters, because that's where the answers are, is in the Word of God.
You know, Tim, I think also we need to remember that the exercising of patience is not to be equated with sanctioning or tolerating or overlooking the delinquency of an apostate or false doctrine. We're not overlooking that with patience, but there does come a time when we need to be patiently working with them. And then when they no longer want to study with us, when they no longer want, or they just refuse to listen, then that's, I think, where patience is stopped.
And what do you... How do you take the next step? What do you do? What do you do when they refuse to listen?
Well, the Bible talks about withdrawing fellowship and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Yes. And has your congregation done that?
Has our congregation done that? Well, I don't know, because I've only been there about 1 week, so I can't answer that. But I do know that they stand for what is right and true, and we strive to do our best to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
And how far does that extend? Do you do that with people who are in your jurisdiction or out of your jurisdiction?
Well, the New Testament points out that this would be a matter for each local congregation to handle. And, Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he told the Corinthian church that they had some matters to take care of there. And he said, put away that wicked man from among yourselves. And so this really turns out to be a local congregational matter. If you know, if you've studied the New Testament very much, you know that in the New Testament, the pattern for the church, that there is no worldwide organization of the Lord's church as the church is presented to us in the New Testament. And so each local congregation takes care of its matters under the authority of, excuse me, under the authority of the elders of each local congregation. And those elders will lead the congregation in doing the things that are according to the New Testament.
And you plan on practicing that and preaching that there in HICO?
Sure, we do. We do practice that and preach that in HICO. I've been told, I've only been there since the end of May, but I've been told about other situations in previous years where some were, went out from the congregation because of false teaching or false practices or whatever, and so those brethren were disciplined in a scriptural manner. It's really something that is a last resort. You know, the first thing that we want to do is to try to teach and try to reach out, try to restore. Galatians 6:1 says, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. It's a matter of love because we care about the souls of our brethren. We want them to be saved. We want everyone to do what's right. And so we want to keep everyone, doing the things that are right in accordance with the New Testament. But if someone, as Tom was mentioning, just simply refuses, I think Paul mentioned in Titus 3 and verse 10 there about a man who is a heretic, who is a divider, in other words, and he is to be given a first and second admonition. And then he says, after that, then you reject him, you turn away. So we want to give folks time. We want the word to be able to enter into their minds and help them to understand what's right and what's wrong, and hopefully then they will come back and they will do the right thing.
You know,
was the last preacher there at HICO, was he admonished for his false teaching, or was he just sent along to another congregation somewhere?
You're talking about local congregational matters there, and this program is not intended for that kind of thing.
But I do know that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord said he is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's where patience comes in. We're trying to be patient and long-suffering with people, hoping that they will come to repentance. And, Marcia, we thank you for your call. But let's continue to talk about the importance of patience And notice, let's look at Jesus for a moment. Jesus was a very patient man at times, as Marcia mentioned, but also there was a time when that had to be stopped. Remember, let's turn over with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, it says, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when you do it well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and to the bishops of your soul." Jesus here, we have a great example of a man who was very, as he had to endure the various difficulties that come his way. You know, and Tim, this is not very easy for us to do sometimes, is it, to have patience when people are mistreating us?
It's true, and it's really amazing to me how Jesus was able to do that when he was being personally attacked, he was being lied about, and, you know, it's just human nature to want to try to defend ourselves, and if someone's lying about us, of course we want to speak up and we want to say, no, wait a minute, that's a lie, that's not true. But Jesus just took it, and his patience was just amazing. It's incredible to see how he was able to endure through that and to forbear through that when they were lying about him, they were accusing him falsely, and yet he was able to take it.
You know, and Jesus not only was patient with how people dealt with him, but he was also patient with his sometimes so slow to learn and slow to believe disciples. You remember in Tim in John chapter 14, verse 1, where he's talking about how they'd want their heart to be troubled, to believe in him, that in his Father's house were many mansions, he'd go to prepare a place for them. And then Thomas says that he doesn't know the way. And so Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. And then Philip, in verse 8, said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, they just weren't getting the picture yet. And so in chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? And so sometimes you can tell somebody something over and over again, and they still just will not get the picture. And yet Jesus here is showing patience with his disciples, just like, I guess, Tim, we have to show patience sometimes with our own children and brethren, don't we?
It's true. And, you know, I think about patience and long-suffering and God with his children, those of us who are Christians, and his patience and long-suffering with us. I think of the picture that I read one time. I read this example. Picture a father with his young son who is just barely learning how to walk. He's what we call a toddler, and that's a good term for the little ones, you know, that are just learning how to walk and just barely able to pull up and just take a step or two real unsteadily. And then the father is saying, come on, son, walk to me, you know, and the little boy's trying to walk and he takes a step or two. And then all of a sudden he kind of gets unsteady and he falls down, sits down. And imagine then if the father were to get up and to run over to his son and just start to just spank him and whip him and say, you, what is wrong with you? Why can't you get up and walk? We can't imagine that sort of thing. No one would be that impatient and would be that cruel. But sometimes that's the way we are. When we think they should understand and they should learn and they should know everything, you know, right after they come up out of the waters of baptism. They're supposed to just know the whole New Testament all of a sudden. And we sometimes are impatient like that. But we need to think of that example and realize that when a person becomes a Christian, that person, as the New Testament calls him, is a babe in Christ.
That's right. And again, you know, when we talk about patience and allowing people to grow, that does not mean that we sanction or tolerate that which is false or evil. But there are sometimes, for example, let's just say that a man, he cussed all the time, you know, and he become a Christian. And let's just say one day after he become a Christian, he hit the hammer and he accidentally blurted out a cuss word that he just felt so bad about it. But, you know, because of his lifestyle and the long process of doing all that, we need to be patient with people and allow them to come out of some of those situations. We don't say, oh, that's all right, you cussed. But we said, no, we're patient with him and allow him to continue to grow as a Christian. And so it's important for us to be patient with people, and we need to be patient with ourselves when we fall short of what God would have us to do. Well, Tim, we're up against another break, and we're going to take a moment to have some announcements, and we're going to see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition, Exploring the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, and I have with me today Tim Ayers, and we're delighted to be able to talk to you about the Christian graces. And remember that this is a live call-in radio program, and you're more than welcome to call in with questions or comments at 254-445-2473, or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We're talking about patience, and patience is something that's very important for the Christian to have. And you know, Tim, patience is also something very important for us to have in our home. Husbands and wives need to be patient with one another.
That's true, Tom. You know, I want to mention also real quick about the listening in on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's keqxpurecountry.com, and you can check that out, and you can register there and listen in to us on the internet if you don't have the ability to listen in on the radio all the time. But you can hear it there as well. It's true. We need patience in our homes. I believe a lot of times the problems in homes between husbands and wives is because of lack of patience, sometimes because of selfishness. We fight over money, various things, and we just need more patience with one another to be able to, and also forbearance, the idea of putting up with those things that maybe we think are important, and the other person, our spouse, maybe is not on the same page with us on some of those matters. But we just need more patience and more concern for one another, and being able to have the ability to take time with one another. Nobody's perfect. You aren't perfect. Your spouse isn't perfect. And so let's have patience with ourselves, and let's have patience with our spouses, and we'll have better homes. We'll have better marriages. Let's be patient with our children. Because remember, you know, you were a child once, and remember about that, and then treat your children accordingly, because they're not adults, they're children, and it's up to us as parents to raise them up properly.
You know, and Tim, I've always heard that marriage is a two-way street. It's always under construction, and especially among young married couples, there's so many divorces today because they simply lack patience with themselves and patience with their spouse. But you know, another thing, Tim, that we have to deal with quite often is being patient in regard to persecution. That's not always an easy thing for us to have to endure, is it, Tim?
That's true. You know, we're trying to be Christians. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying to live as God has told us in His Word. And then we have folks who just want to be mean and ugly to us and treat us in a cruel way, make fun of us, mock us, call us names. Sometimes in the business world, a Christian businessman might miss out on some business, on some business, on some profit, because he's upholding honesty in his business dealings. And not everybody in the business world is honest.
That's right.
Some of them are corrupt. Some of them are greedy. And, you know, I'm not anti-business in any sense at all. I believe in capitalism and free enterprise and all of that. But greed is sinful.
That's right.
And corruption and dishonesty is sinful. And we need to have patience when we're out there trying to live in this world of ours. We're trying to live as Christians. And in every aspect of our lives, we're trying to be faithful Christians. It's tough sometimes.
You know, and I don't know of a person who has had to endure more persecution and difficulty than possibly the Apostle Paul. He had to suffer so many things. And for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 4, it says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God." Well, how are we going to do this, Paul? He says, well, "in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watching, in fastings," and so on. He talks about how that he has to have patience to be able to endure all of these various difficulties. And, boy, Tim, Paul really had to endure the difficulties, didn't he?
It's true. And again, as we were saying, he was one who was trying to be a faithful Christian. He was trying to do what was right. He was preaching the Word of God. He was telling people what God wanted them to know. And yet he was run out of town. He was threatened with his life more than once. One time they stoned him with stones and left him for dead. And when he wrote Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, he made the comment, he said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And he meant that literally.
That's right.
He had the scars on his physical body because of what he had done for Christ.
You know, anytime you stand up for what is right and you tell people the truth of God's word, there is going to be persecution involved, because they many times are not going to like what you have to say. They may be blaming you and hurting you, but actually what they're doing, Tim, aren't they, is they're going against what God says and taking it out on you.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's important for us to realize that we're going to have patience. But when you think about patience and enduring the various difficulties, I want you to consider what Jesus said about this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10, which is something that's well, just kind of a... People don't really see persecutions and difficulty this way, but if you're a man who has patience and long-suffering, then we can see difficulties like Jesus did. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, as he draws to a close in the Beatitudes, he says in Matthew 5, verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, Tim, that's something hard for us to get a hold on, isn't it? To feel fortunate or happy about persecutions that come our way.
It's true. We see a good example of that in Acts chapter 5, when the apostles were beaten, scourged by the Sanhedrin because they'd been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they came out from the presence of the Jewish council, they were praising God because they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ.
That's right. Now, I want to continue to emphasize along the way that when we're talking about patience with other people and patience with ourselves, we are not saying that we are condoning evil or that we just sit back and allow evil to take place, but you have to allow people time to grow. You have to have time to teach them, and that's part of this persecution that comes sometimes because people aren't going to like what you have to say from God's Word. But, you know, Tim, the Bible tells us that patience in trial produces some very wonderful things, doesn't it?
It's true. James, over in James chapter 1, he said, Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Someone was praying one time, and they were asking God for patience, and they said, God, grant me patience and give it to me right now. And, you know, that's kind of a funny thing that we laugh about, but really sometimes we're that way. We want to have patience, but we don't want to have to go through the thing that actually gives us patience, which is the difficulties of life.
That's right. And, you know, and these patients are, these difficulties we go through are varied, aren't they, Tim? They're angles, all different kinds of difficulties come our way, but we need to realize that when we go through these difficulties, these trying times, James tells us that they produce patience in our lives. And I like what he says there in verse 4 in James chapter 1. He says, but let patience have her perfect work. You know, sometimes we want everything right now, don't we, Tim? It's kind of like you don't plant corn in the morning and expect to have roasting ears in the evening. Mm-hmm. So patience is something that we have to try to cultivate and to produce in our life. And one of the ways that that happens is by having these various difficulties that come in our life, whether it be personal attacks or hardships that come in our life, but they help us to produce patience.
It's true. You know, over in Romans 5, Paul was writing about this, and in verse 3 he says, we glory in tribulations. In other words, he's saying we're happy, or as James said, we have joy when we face these tribulations, knowing this is the reason we can feel this way, because it's something that we know is true, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, as it says in the New King James, patience in the King James Version. So tribulation produces that patience or that perseverance. We go through these trials. We go through these difficulties, these adversities of life. We overcome them because we have our Christian faith. We have our Christian brethren to encourage us. We have the church to encourage us. We have the New Testament to teach us and to give us the hope and the comfort that we need, as Paul said in Romans 15:4. And so we're able to go through those trials and problems, and then we're able to face more adversity later on because of the patience that we've been able to acquire through the previous things that we've entered.
Yes, and, you know, this patience that we need, it's something that we have to incorporate in our lives because of the difficulties, but also to help us to endure these things, we need to ask God for help, don't we, Tim? And that's exactly what he says there in James chapter 1, that if we lack wisdom, well, wisdom about what? Well, wisdom how to deal with these difficulties and have patience with them.
Mm-hmm.
We ask God about things, and notice he says that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He does not make fun of them. And so he's going to do those things that are good and beneficial for us if we'll just ask him. Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Who's calling, please?
My name is John.
John. What you got on your mind, John?
Well, I got on my mind, I'm wondering how patient it would be with the Tyco and Hamilton churches lying to the people.
Well, we appreciate your call, John, but I don't know what you're talking about, and we just don't want to address that right now.
Okay.
But we're thankful that we have the opportunity to speak concern, because we all need to have patience with, well, I guess with our callers, and the callers need to have patience with us, and we need to have patience with God's Word. And one of the things that's going to help us with this is that we need to realize that God's Word helps us to produce patience. For example, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And so we learn how to be patient by using the Scriptures, don't we, Tim?
It's true. You know, what we're trying to do here is to present what the Word of God teaches. And if someone wanted to call in and to disagree and to say, well, here's what that is actually teaching, or here's what that's actually saying, we can have a discussion about what the Bible is teaching. Just to call in and say, well, you're lying to the people, that's not really a fruitful discussion there. So if someone wants to call and to disagree with us and to say, here's what the Bible is saying, we'll discuss it. We love to talk about what the Bible teaches. That's why we're here.
And so when we talk about God's Word, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It has told us what we need to do to have patience. And we look at people like, for example, when it talks about learning from Old Testament examples how to be patient, Job is one of those that teaches us how to be patient. Think about all the difficulties and hardships of Job. And as when we speak about patience, who's the first name that always comes to mind, Tim?
Job.
That's Job. That's right. Because of the great patience that he had, even among all the great difficulties that he had to endure. You know, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 speaks of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, patience, Tim, is something that's connected with heaven, isn't it?
That's true.
And according to Romans chapter 2, verse 7, eternal life is going to be given those who patiently continue in well-doing. You know, someone once said this, patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, stifles anger, extinguishes envy, subdues pride, bridles the tongue, restrains the hand, and tramples upon temptation. And so patience is something that every Christian needs to have. And remember, as we're talking about these Christian graces, Peter says that we are to give all diligence to acquire these things. Now, I have to admit that I'm not always the most patient man in the world. But you need to realize that and then try to work on and then add these qualities to your life so that you can be more faithful and pleasing in God's sight.
You know, Tom, whether we're patient enough to live God's way or not, we cannot change His Word. His Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever, according to the words of Hebrews 13:8. God shows His patience with us every day, and we should be so thankful that we serve God of patience and that we can learn patience from Him and from His Word.
Well, sadly, Tim, it looks like we're about out of time, but we've had a good discussion today, things that help us to think, things to think about, and I pray that we will all evaluate our lives and make sure that we are people of patience. And again, we're just thankful for Tim filling in for David today. He's a great man, a good gospel preacher, and you would do good to go by Heiko and to hear him preach, because I know you'll hear only the Word of God. And so till next time, here at the Harrison Clark Expedition, we pray that God would bless you as you do His will.